we might talk about is the relation of the unformed and the formed within our own thoughts, with how we create things with our thoughts. I may know that a certain concept is there within me, and so when I speak and the concept unfolds in many words and many sentences, I know that it's going to come out and come out correctly, yet there wasn't a text composed in my unconscious mind. There was a seed, you might say, that does not yet have the form of the words, yet it's implied. There aren't separate little control rooms or laboratories in our unconscious where we have subordinate or rogue personalities preparing scripts, preparing plot outlines, and so on. We're cohesive. There may be fears and desires we have that we push into the unconscious, unadmitted area of ourself, but these aren't, as I say, little people. Yet things emerge in this finished way which is inherent before we start to produce the speech that we make. Or think of Michelangelo when he says there's a statue in that stone and I'm bringing it out. It's not exactly in the stone, it's within Michelangelo looking at that stone. He does not consciously see the finished statue, but he knows it's there and it emerges. It's similar with a poem. A poem has a meter and rhymes. The rhymes may be very exacting, like this religion may seem schismatic, but it may really be prismatic. And the poem emerges. It may be more complex than a sonnet. And if one rhyme or meter was unavailable, the poem could not be completed. If you have to force even one syllable, your poem is imperfect and it's like a pastiche. It's marred by that. So what is quite awesome in a perfect poem like this is how it can emerge through the conscious mind of the poet. It's not his cleverness that does it. So things that are formed come out, they emerge, they are like a Lego construction. When you have the base, then much may be implied. Because the core of things is not a form, it generates form. My perception of time and space might be quite radically different from that of another being. We're not confined to the specificities of one modality or another. An inspiration leads to an idea, and that leads to forms. It occurred to me this morning, you could have some origami pieces. There's very advanced origami being created just for play purposes by various scientists. You could have origami pieces that are the components, let's say, of a spaceship. They're flat. You put them in a box, take them out to weightless space, and they just unfold like a jack-in-the-box unfolds. And you have a completed spaceship. And then you could spray it with super hard plastic, harder than steel, which they also have. And so you've constructed a spaceship from components in a box. Or think of a car. You could have a car in a box. The major components. You might not need it for little things like the screws or the ball bearings, but for the shafts and the engines and so on, the origami shapes spring open. You coat them with a super hard material and assemble your car. In other words, you might not need all that wasted material and wasted heaviness that's a solid engine if you can unfold the outer shape of the engine or the drive shaft or the piston. Buckminster Fuller said that the advance of technology is to do more and more with less and less. In a way, our economic culture reflects that, because what was the cutting edge 100 years ago, like building a car, is now replaced by much subtler and more weightless things. Software is now the most advanced thing in technology, and the most complex piece of software is virtually weightless and dimensionless. A friend of mine who creates operating systems, I was saying to him the other day, they're kind of an excuse or rationale for telepathy. He thought that was a good analogy. You might say that the forms of things are forms of communication, forms of relationship, forms of love. And that is why necessarily natural things are beautiful. They're not simply utilitarian. And they are meaningful, they're symbolic. The sky, the river, the mountain, the tree, the different animals, the different plants, the parts of a plant, the roots are symbolic, the branch is symbolic, the trunk is symbolic, the shape of a human is like a god. It's symbolic. The hand is symbolic, the foot, the limbs, the trunk. Every part of us. That's why a face is the face of love. So everything emerges as an expression of a consciousness, of a love which is always existent. Before it comes into any form, sometimes it's said that it descends into form, it falls into form, it is lost by coming into form or imprisoned in form. It's really coming out, expressing in form. But as soon as we run into a seeming obstacle, then we get upset, we get angry and fearful, and feel that there is separation. Well, it's the feeling of separation, the amnesiac misapprehension that things are separated because they're in relationship, which causes the fears and the angers. Vitality can turn into fear and anger and all the other antagonistic type of emotions like blame and self-blame and guilt and deviousness and worry and despair and discouragement. When at the root we feel there is separation and we run into a problem, and before we even tackle it, we feel this may be insuperable. Because it's the other. It's not part of the gang. See, when you're all part of the gang, it's like a oneness. Oneness, sacred oneness in sacred relationship. Sacred relationship within sacred oneness. It seems that in some societies there's been an insufficient amount of individualism, and everybody has invested their own individual worth in the worth of the leadership. Like the ancient Egyptians building the pyramids, this pharaonic society. And high officials might like to have their own eensy little tomb, their embalmment. But the great energy of what it is to be a single person was all installed within the national imagination, installed into the figurehead, the ruler. On the other hand, we can have a society, and modern American society could exemplify this, which is so fragmented, you have every man for himself. This would be like a dysfunctional family, if you looked at it on the level of a nuclear family, instead of parental love. Each parent is for himself. Each child is for himself. The siblings are fighting. Everybody is feeling alienated. So harmony is when we individualize, yet we can fit into the relationships of society as notes fit into a symphony. With concordance, perfect concordance, yet no individual is diminished. It's only at the spiritual level that we can find that we're able to give and give wholeheartedly and pour out without stint and never be diminished. the things that we are brought to do, the things that we are inspired to do at a certain moment. Let's do them. The most wonderful thing is we may feel we'd like to meditate. And there's a bunch of practical things we have to get to. But if we feel we need to center ourselves, drink from the source, find our security, then we should simply do that. Take the time to do that thing that we love to do. It might be we want to go out into the Ashland Hills and climb to the top of a mountain. And we can go ahead and do that. Or we meet a friend and we might feel, oh, I have to rush off. But if we're simply present, even for that minute, yesterday I took a minute to speak to a friend of mine I ran into, and he began telling me the most profound things about himself, going back to the story of himself and his parents and his deep psychological structure, all in a minute or two. So these are some of the things that were happening with me in the past 2 days. And they seem very thematically cohesive. It all has to do with what emerges from our divine self, from the stark and total simplicity of the Godhead, which we are composed from. Things that we're doing which may seem to be quite trivial can be the most important thing. The larger things emerge from a thought which emerges from something simpler than a thought. emergence from utter simplicity. Things merge and emerge. From the timeless stream. And it is within rest and in return shall be my strength, as it says in the Psalms. In quietness and in confidence shall be my strength. In rest and in return shall be my salvation. I can float in this uplifting and supportive ocean of the divine. God, my Redeemer and only salvation, God, the one life that wells up from within. It's God, it's the life which we all are. The one so it's the maxim, don't just do anything, stand there. Re-enter that truth. And this is the key to our whole day, the key to our whole world. Peace, love, and joy. Thank you. This is your community radio station, KSKQLP 94.9 FM, Ashland, Oregon, a project of the Multicultural Association of Southern Oregon. This has been really being with you.